Broadcast. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. Today is February 17th, 2010. I say 2010 because we are soon entering the month of Adar, the last month of the year, 2010. Okay, now I explained this before. The month of Adar is coming up on the 18th. And this is a very important month. Of course, you are listening to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. This broadcast is called The Seed of the Serpent and the Amalekite Deception. Before I start, I would like to open up in a word of prayer. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for coming and thank you for listening to this broadcast, and it's going to be intense. So hopefully later on you can download this and listen to it. Let me begin with a word of prayer. Now, Father, I thank you for another opportunity to allow me to speak to your children. Thank you for giving me the ability to read your word, because it was just over a year ago that I learned to spell your name. I pray that you open the heart of your children, my brothers and sisters. I pray that you put new wine in their glasses today, Father, and let them throw out the old. I pray that you bind and bound the demonic hindering spirit and protect me as I say the things you need me to say. Once again, I thank you for my humble heart and thank you for honoring me with your wisdom. I say this prayer in the name of your gift, your love, Yahushua, the Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, before I start, I want to know, can someone tell me if you can hear me in the chat room? Can someone say I can hear you? Because I'm not sure if I'm getting through. Can I say we hear you? Because I have to check the sound. No. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play one more thing, all right? And what I'm going to play this and to see if I can, I'm just going to do a sound check really quick, all right? And then I'm going to, yes, you can, I can hear you, and I do hope we can hear you too. Okay, cool. Thank you, Messenger Boy. All right, but I'm going to play this really quick. This is file, and I'm going to play this file that I'm going to explain to you later, okay? This is called the Book of Jude and the Book of Enoch. Now, the reason why I play this is because a lot of people don't follow the apocryphal books because they're not part of the Bible, but what they have to understand is the Bible references these books a lot, and they edify each other. So I'm just going to play this file just so you can hear it, and then I'm going to explain it after you hear both of them. I know many of you heard this before, but I just want to make a point with this real quick. Okay, here, listen to this.
The General Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
The Book of Enoch, the Ethiopian writings of the Old Testament Apocrypha, rediscovered within the Dead Sea Scrolls. And behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his holy ones, to execute judgment upon all, and to destroy all the ungodly, and to convict all flesh of all the works of their ungodliness, which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
Now, if you notice, both verses were word for word. And if you notice what they said about the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were found after Jude was written. And they were found in the Ethiopian language. And what's amazing about this is when you read the book of Enoch, it edifies Jude, Jude edifies Enoch, and then the whole story is found out when you read the book of Enoch. So if you don't read it, you'll get half of the story. This will become more important as you go on to this broadcast. But this is a huge broadcast. Let me get started because I don't want to waste too much time. All right, now, today, I would like to speak about one of the first prophecies in the Word. This prophecy has been overlooked by many and misunderstood by many more. Before I explain, I first want to thank a very dear and important friend of mine. His name is Sword of Yah. Now, I would like to thank him for bringing this to my attention. He simply pointed out the connections in the Strong's Concordance to the name Yaakov and the word heal. And my eyes were opened to the most profound and important prophecy that ties all the scriptures together. Now, let me explain. We first must read Genesis 3:15. And it reads, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what I just read was a parable. Before I begin to decipher this parable, we first must understand what a parable is. Now, listen to this. A parable means a show, a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle, or moral lesson. A statement or comment that conveys a meaning directly by the use of comparison, analogy, or the like. Parable. A short story that uses familiar events to illustrate a religious or ethical point, related, parabolic, parabolical, any of the stories in this kind told by Jesus Christ. Now, before I Before I can continue, keep your mind on the word religious. Okay? Keep your mind on the word religious. In my past broadcast, I have a broadcast called The Religious Mind Control and an Ignorant People. I explained that religion means, if you recall, bondage. Okay? Religion means bondage. Now, the etymology is from parabola, comparison, from Greek, parabol. Now, don't overlook this. The Greek invented parabol, okay? It says a comparison, parable, a throwing besides, alongside, para, throwing, casting, beam, ray, related to balan, to throw, replace, by spell. Parable took on the meaning word, hence it is para, to speak. Okay, now, those of you who are not yet understanding, let me break this down. The people who wrote the Bible replaced the truth with parables to create a religion called Judaism and Christianity. They placed alongside the truth their version to hide the simple meanings of the word, the history, and the stories of the chosen people of Yah. Now, it is vital to place this in your wisdom. I'm not saying that the original ancient Hebrew was not written in analogies and stories to teach. Now, this is evident. But I am saying that because it has been turned into a religion which created confusion, we have to pay attention to this word parable. After all, the etymology, the root meaning of the word, means to replace, a throwing alongside. Now, I say this because this topic of today is based on the seed of the serpent. After this broadcast, we will see how this simple and obvious event was turned into a topic of taboo and confusion. Now, this was done on purpose, and today we will find out why. Now, I just heard in the background the blog talk just starting up again, so can I get I can hear you again in the chat room? Because make sure that I'm still on. Da-da-da. Can someone say, I can hear you? I can hear you. I'm going to write here in the chat. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. Because it seems like there might be issues again. Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mama B. All right, now I'm wasting a lot of time. Okay. Now, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, now, to understand this verse, we first must find the meaning of the word seed. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell y'all, this is going to get really, really good. You really have to listen. Okay, I'm going to go a little fast now. It's going to pick up. But, you know, like I said, download this later and listen to it. Okay, now, the seed. The root of this word, okay, the root of this whole study, right, centers around what the seed is. Now, like always, I will dig deep into the Strong's and Hebrew, so it's best, like I said, to download and to do your own study offline. And what you do is you confirm this research for yourself, because whenever you find something for yourself, it's always that much more better for you. Now, this sentence, it says, between thy seed and her seed. When you look up this word seed, It is Hebrews 22:33. We find many clues to what this word really means. This word seed is pronounced Zara, okay? Zara in the Babylonian. And this is what it reads. It says from Hebrews 22:33, seed, figuratively, fruit, plant, sowing, seed, posterity. It says carnal, child, fruitful, seed, time, sowing, time. Okay. Now, this did not tell us much, so we look at the root word. It's in Hebrews 22:32. Now, before it was 22:33, now we're looking at 22:32. Now, this is what the root word, okay? And we do this to get a deeper meaning. And it reads, to sow figuratively, to disseminate, plant, fruitify, bear, conceive, seed, set with, sow, yield. Okay? Now, let's put Hebrews 22:33 and Hebrews 22:32 together and pull out the few words that support the fact. Okay? This is seed. Okay? Okay, that is seed. It's speaking about conception. Okay, now we're going to find out if this seed is speaking about conception. Okay, we find words like child, bear, and conceive seed. Now, for me, this would be enough because I understand the whole story. But for those that need more, here's something that might surprise you. Now, if you take this word, zara, and place the Hebrew characters, zin, rash, ayin, into a Google translator from Hebrew to English, you get the word seed. And the noun for the word are as follows: seed, sperma, semen, germ, offspring, corn. Okay. Now, let me be clear. When you place the Hebrew characters into Google Translator, we get words like sperma, semen, and offspring. Now, ask yourself a question. Why didn't Eve get a severe case of tooth decay if she was, cursed for eating an apple? Why was she afflicted in childbearing and conception? Now, this is something to think about. Okay, now, there's another word that means seed in Hebrew, which is Hebrews 6:5-7. What makes this important is the use of the word seed, Hebrews 6:5-7. Now, it is only used once in the whole Bible, okay? It's only used once in the whole book. Now, what sparked my attention is where this word leads. We find it in the book of Joel, okay? Now, first we're going to look at the definition. And it says, feminine passes participle of Hebrews 6:5-5, something separated, that is kernel, seed. And when we read the reference words, it says a primitive root to break, that is spread or separate oneself, disperse, divide, by out of joint, part, scatter abroad, separate, self, sever self, stretch, sunder. Now, this word, 6507, is not speaking about offspring, as you can tell. But what has happened, it's not actually speaking about offspring, but it's actually speaking about what's happened to the offspring. Now, this is very interesting because this word leads us to the book of Joel. And what makes this even more amazing is this. The book of Joel supports the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. Okay? Supports the prophecy. Now, first we look at the verse that references seed, Hebrews 6:5-7. And it says, from Joel 1:7, it says, the seed is rotten under their clouds, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered, Okay, now, I'm going to read a few chapters in the book of Joel. Now, listen to how this speaks about the house of Yaakov and the war between the seeds. The book of Joel, and it reads, "The word of Yahuwah that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old man, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even the days of your fathers? Tell your children it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awaken, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." Okay? Now listen. Joel 1:6. "For a nation has come upon my land, strong without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my wine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clear bare, and cast it away, and the branches there are made white." Okay? The fig tree has been made white. "Laminate like a virgin, girdle with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of Yahuwah. The priest, the Most High, ministers more. The field is wasted, the land's mourners, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried." Okay? And then it reads, now this is the reference verse. It says, "The seed is rotten under thy clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Ye, the flock of sheep, are made desolate. O Ayah, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the river of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness." Now, think about this chapter in the book of Joel. "Tell ye your children of it, let ye children tell their children, and their children another generation." This is telling us to remember what happened. This should bring our mind to the war between the seed of Yaakov and the seed of Amalek. One thing to take note of is this. And this is very important. The Amalekites did not start with Esau or the Edomites. Now, I will explain this later in this broadcast. Okay, now, I'm going to explain the Amalekites. I just want to throw that in there. Now I want you to listen to a parable. Listen to the parallels, okay, between the book of Joel and the book of Exodus. All right? The book of Joel and the book of Exodus. It says, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahovani, see. For he said, because Yahuwah has sworn that Yahuwah will have war in Amalek for generation to generation." Okay, now I butchered that up. But I think you get the point, you know. Now, take note of this verse. He said, because Yahuwah hath sworn that Yahuwah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay? Now, Another thing to take note of is this. If I'm talking about Amalek, right, then is the remembrance of Amalek utterly put out from under heaven? The answer is no. So then, if Amalek is still remembered, then the war is still on. And all that deny this truth, okay, all that deny the truth that the war is still on, you have to pick a side. Because somebody's fighting with somebody. Okay? Now, listen to Joel. It says, Joel 4, thou which the palmer worm hath left, the locust eaten, that which the locust hath left, the cankerworm eaten, that which the cankerworm hath left, the caterpillar eaten. Okay? Now, for those that understand history, follow the trail. The Amalekites intermix with the following nations: the Hittites, the Horites, the Amorites. All of those nations can be traced back to Ham. The Amalekites are also the Hyksos. The Hyksos and the Amalekites are one and the same. The reason why the Amorites are so important to prophecy is because the Amorites are the Amalekites. Like I said, we'll break this down later, okay? So the book of Joel is telling us to look at history. Look at how the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Horites, the Edomites, the Greeks, the Romans, the Germans, the Ashkenazis have usurped the people of the land. Notice the insects that are used to make this point. Think about this. What happens to a caterpillar? It turns into a butterfly, right? Now, to get a deeper understanding of this verse, we will look at the characteristics of the butterfly. Now, did you know that the defense of the butterfly is deception? Now, let's not overlook this fact. There is a reason why the very last insect used is a caterpillar. You know? What does it say? That which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Remember, this is prophecy. Okay? Now, we can learn a lot from insects, like I said. So what is the definition of the word butterfly? And it reads, butterfly, perhaps based on the old notion that the insect or witches disguised as butterflies consume butter or milk that is left uncovered, or less creatively, simply because the pale yellow color of many species' wings suggest the color of butter. Okay, now, one interesting thing I would like to point out is this. The word yellow is also described, the word yellow that is described here, it's also used in that word woof in Hebrews 2:06-1. Okay? Now, I don't know if many of you caught my broadcast. It was called the Book of Esther in the New Moon. I mentioned this Hebrew 20:61. Okay? Now, when you look at the Strong's, okay, they are actually telling us that this is referencing the Book of Esther. And let me read the definition. It says, Hebrews 20:61, from an unused root meaning to be yellow, a woof, woof. All right? Now, how does this to be yellow relate to woof? Maybe it has a dual meaning, yellow as the moon, or as it's a reference to butterfly. All right? For those that are confused right now, just put this aside right now. All right? Let's see. Now, before Okay, let me see. Now, if you remember the prophecy of the tribes of Benjamin, this would make more sense. But regardless, you know, just keep this in mind because it's important. But let's move on. All right, now, what else does a butterfly mean? It says, a person who never settles with one group, interest, or occupation for long. The art of deception. Most butterflies protect themselves from predators by using camouflage. Some butterflies blend into their environment so well that it is almost impossible to spot them when they are resting on a branch. Some butterflies look like dead leaves, like the Indian leaf butter. Others look like the bark of a tree. The Mallorann micrae is a type of butterfly that uses camouflage to deceive his predators. And of course, the butterfly comes from the caterpillar. And one more thing. What is the most distinguishing quality of the caterpillar? It's hairy. Now, who do we know in scriptures that is described as hairy? Okay? Now, what you need to do is take the book of Joel, read it for yourself, all right, and listen to this again, and then you'll start to catch why I'm talking about butterflies and caterpillars, because this all has significance, because nothing is used in a word by accident. Nothing is a coincidence, you know? And you're going to find out that this gets really deep. And, you know, sometimes, all the times, I'm amazed after I finish this study. Okay, now, the book of Joel, it says, awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come upon you, for a nation has come upon my land, strong without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches therefore are made white. Now know the parable of the fig tree. Now ask yourself a question. Who are the figs on the fig tree? This reference seed is speaking specifically on what happened to the seed of Jacob. And to edify that, it says, fig tree. Now, you got to open up your wisdom now. Now, like I said before, this chapter Joel says it all. So the question should come to mind are these. If the seed of Jacob was usurped, and the people we think are the seed are not the seed, then who are they? And if they are not Yaakov, then where and who is Yaakov? Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay? Now, the seed and her seed. Now, listen to this. Revelations 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of Yahuwah, and he and have the testimony of Yahushua, the Messiah. All right. Now, let me see. How much time do I have? I think I have some time. Okay, I'm going to play this. And listen to this. Let's see if I can find it. This will set it up. Here we go.
The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.
In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay, now, that speaks for itself. So, who was the dragon? If you do not understand who the dragon is, then you will not understand the purpose of his seed. And if the dragon in Revelation 12:17 is the serpent in Genesis 3:15, then what does all this mean? Now, this is one of those topics that is considered controversial. Many people avoid this topic for three main reasons. The first is lack of knowledge. The second, fear of ridicule. And third, the inability to shake religious doctrine. This is when an ex-preacher, minister, or Bible thumper carries old baggage to a new understanding. Their glass is half full with old wine, as it says in Matthew 2:2-2. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the old bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Now, I read this verse for those that just can't get the meaning of the serpent seed. Now, it might help you if you poured out your old wine and not criticized those of us that did. Which brings me to my next point. This discussion or study on the serpent seed is not so-called replacement doctrine. It is a rediscovery of what has been lost to those that have been misplaced. Right? Now, usurpation has occurred, and it continues to occur all over this planet. And to make my point, I will give a recent example. All right? Now, let's take a look at Egypt. Now, how do you think the majority of the people that live in Egypt today, okay? Now, how many of you think that the majority of people that live in Egypt today are the ancestors of the original people? How many of you think that this is Mitzrayim over there? If the president of Egypt came to power in 1953, and before that it was a sultan appointed by Great Britain, and before that it was ruled by another usurper from Albania, then who are the people living in Egypt today? Does anyone know who Muhammad al-Pasha is? Well, let's read. Muhammad al-Pasha was an Ottoman Turk, an Albanian origin, who became an Ottoman Wali and self-declared Khedive of Egypt and Sudan. Though not a modern nationalist, he is regarded as the founder of modern Egypt because of the dramatic reforms in the military, economic, and cultural spheres and his that he instituted. He also ruled the Levantine territories outside Egypt. The dynasty that he established would rule Egypt and Sudan until the Egyptian Revolution of 1952. Oh, so he wasn't even Egyptian. He was Albanian. So what about the people? If he was not Egyptian and he was appointed king by the Ottoman Turkish Empire, right, then were the Ottomans of the original people? Or were the people already replaced? Well, all we have to do is follow the trail. First, we look at the Ottoman Turkish Empire, then the Byzantine Holy Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Hyksos usurpation, and let's not forget, it was Great Britain that became the kingmakers in 1914. Right? And they are still installing the rulers today. So today we are not looking at ancient Egyptians that lived in Egypt for thousands of years. We are looking at the results of years of power struggles, usurpations, and kingmaking. How many original so-called Native Americans do you see in America? These people were replaced in less than 300 years. In less than 300 years, you would be shocked to see a whole United States city totally controlled by so-called Native Americans. And I am not talking about a reservation. Now, compare this 300-year usurpation to those living in Egypt and ask yourself this question. Are the people that live in Egypt the ancient Egyptians that lived in Egypt for thousands of years? Or is this a result of Babylonian, Persian, Greek, Roman, Byzantine, Ottoman, and Great Britain usurpation? Right? So, to call this topic hate speech or replacement doctrine is a deception. It is an attempt to hide the truth. Now, common sense will tell you that the ancient Egyptians were dark-skinned, black African people. This is not a racist statement. This is fact. The Persians also black people. In the British Museum, they have images of King Darius. He is a black man. This is fact. He was dark-skinned, full lips, and curly afro. But yet, they get a white actor to play the Prince of Persia. Why? What are they so afraid of? And why should it matter? The question I have is, why are the Gentile nations who are in control of this planet suppressing any mention of the people of the book being black? Why is it taboo for the people of the book being anything other than Caucasian? This is a very serious, important question to ask yourself. If you are a Christian, should it matter if Jesus is black? If you are a Christian, should it matter if the Hebrews are black, or Persian, or Egypt, or Egyptian? The questions are not about it being a black thing. This is not about replacement doctrine, whatever the hell that is. This is a rediscovering of what was stolen and what has been hidden from the world. And with that, I will speak about the seed of the serpent, Nakish Zarah. Okay, now I had to say that real quick because we're just going to end that replacement doctrine crap because that's not going to stop us from the truth, right? Now, like I mentioned before, we will first clear up this misconception about the word serpent. Now, this is where you need to pay attention, okay? We're going to learn what it really means. One very important point to keep in mind. The Bible was written by the Greeks. The Greeks taught in parables and metaphors. So this means every word has more than one meaning. So when you research a topic like the serpent seed, you have to take this into consideration. Now, I feel that I'm getting a little resistance from my former Bible thumpers, okay? My formal Bible thumpers. So I need to make this statement. The ancient Hebrew was translated into the Babylonian and the Greek for religious purposes. At this time, the Babylonians and the Greeks were the enemy. They enslaved our people and stole our history. So forgive me if I must, you know, go through scriptures with a fine tooth comb. I must go through it with a fine tooth comb. All right? Now, I advise you, Mr. Bible Thumper, to do the same. Okay, now, the main objection to the serpent seed doctrine is the serpent. All right? The main objection to the serpent seed doctrine is the serpent. Is this speaking about a real-life reptilian, or is it speaking about a man? Does Nakish mean serpent? Well, let's see what the Strong says. Okay, y'all, here we go. Hebrews 5:175. Nakish. Reference word 5:172, a snake from its hiss. Serpent. Now, all it says, that's all it says, right? But did you notice the word hiss? And also, 5:175 tells us the root word can be found in 5:172. And the word Nakish is not a snake, right? Uh-oh. But a snake's hiss. Now, this is key. Okay, now before I read this definition for 5:172, I first want you to know that I took this word Nakish, translated into the Hebrew letters, and when you translate it back into the English or Greek, you still come up with the word snake. But this word is not used as a noun. It's used as a verb. Now, here comes the root meaning for the word Nakish. We find in at 5:172, a prime root, probably to hiss, that is, whisper a magic spell, generally to prognosticate. Certainly define enchantment, use enchantment learned by experience, indeed, diligently observe. Now, let's not overlook this word, prognosticate. Does anyone know what this means? Well, I didn't, so I looked it up. And boy, was I surprised. Prognosticate, to forecast or predict something future, from present indication or signs, prophecies. To foretoken presage, birds prognosticating spring, to make a forecast, prophecy. So, has anyone spoken to a fortune-telling snake lately? By now, you should understand that Nakish means to hiss, not snake, but to hiss like a snake, which translates to whisper, a spell, enchantment, or to learn by experience. This is describing a being and the characteristics of this being. So was Adam and Eve alone in paradise? Or is there more to the story? Is this a story or a metaphor? For those of you still under the spell of deception, let's get another witness. Now, check out what happens to this word Nakish when we place it in the ancient Hebrew. Now, this is interesting, all right? Now, we have the symbol seed, which is noon. The ancestors tell us that this means continue, hair, sun. Now, this is the word Nakish, the one that means snake, right? He's talking, listen now, it says, continue, hair, sun. Now take note, this word Nakish, all right, that is supposed to mean snake. But when we look at it in ancient Hebrew, the first word means seed, noon. The next symbol is tent wall, which is chut, C-H-E-T, and it means outside, divide, half. So what are they telling us with the use of this? Did this event cast Adam and Eve outside of the garden? Did this divide them, separate them from the garden? The next symbol is teeth, which is shin. And it means sharp, press, eat, and to. So what do you do with your teeth. You tear and rip. You also use your teeth to eat. Now, what does this word eat remind you of? But of the tree of the knowledge, no, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt enter, therefore thou shalt surely die. I'm sorry, I'd have messed it up. Let me read that again clearly. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. I'm getting too excited, y'all. I better calm down. Okay, now, here we go. Okay. Now, for those of you still under the spell of deception, let's get a third witness. We are going to take this word and place it into the Hebrew Old Tanakh, Old Testament Tanakh, but not just any Tanakh. One that is written in Hebrew and Babylonian Hebrew, and it comes with a strong concordance. Now understand, this book is written entirely in Hebrew, and it comes with a strong concordance. So it's easy to find the meaning of the word. Now, what's interesting about this book is this. When you match this word up with the King James Version, you will notice that the Tanakh adds an extra letter to the word. Now, this is key. Guess which letter they add to the word Nakish? Yay. Pronounced Ah. Letter for a Yah. Remember, Abraham. Sarah, Sarah, okay? Now, we're still working with Nakish, okay? We're still working with Nakish. Now, listen. Many of y'all, you know, it doesn't take you long to really just, if you need confirmation of this, all you need to do is just pick up a Strong's Concordance, take these words, break them down, do some research for yourself, and, you know, then call me. Here we go. Now, the words that we get in Nakish in the Hebrew, the Babylonian Hebrew, you get He, Nun, Chit, Shin. But then they added the He. All right? So, a question should come to mind. Why did the King James Version remove this letter, or why did the Tanakh add the letter? Was this letter added to better define what this being is? Is this letter telling us this being is more than just a snake in paradise? Keep in mind, this letter, Yeh, pronounced Ah, when translated into the Babylonian Hebrew, means T-H-E, the, which has no meaning compared to the ancient Hebrew. In the ancient, it means look, reveal, breath, which is to live, to have life, life that comes from the Most High. So this word Nakish tells more than just a story about Adam and Eve eating an apple and talking to a snake. This snake was a created being. It was talking, expressing, telling stories, telling prophecies of future events. It was seducing, beguiling, and giving seed. Now you can accept this fact or go back to sleep. But if you sleep, you will be totally unprepared for the things to come. Okay, now I'm going to read Genesis 1 through 7. Now, open your mind and listen. Listen to this with new ears. Keep in mind, this was translated by the Greeks, and when they wrote it like a metaphor. What this means is that they took the ancient Hebrew language and rewrote it for those benefits. They wrote it for their benefit, okay, not ours. Now, I can't express this point enough. Okay? Now, The serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which Yahuwah had made. And he said unto the woman, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah has said, we shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest we die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for Yah hath know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay. Now, time does not permit me to filter through all this, but I will bring a few words to your attention, and maybe you can repeat what I've done, right? And then you can break this down and teach yourself. Okay, now, once again, I want to make this statement because I want to be clear. Since I discovered the correct way to read the Bible, okay, to read the Word, my faith has increased 10,000%. The Most High exists, and His Word is perfect. The things I found in this Word are truly divine. This Word was not written by man. Even when man tries to corrupt it, it remains uncorruptible. Okay? I want to make that statement. Now, let's look at the word apron, Hebrews 22:9-0. The last word used in Genesis 3:7. When you look this word up, okay? When you look this word up, you will find that it means armor or gird. It speaks about a belt, but belt for protection. And this word naked also has a deeper meaning. It means stark naked in the Babylonian Hebrew, but when you pass it through the ancient, it expresses mortality. Okay? You get words like chaos, blood, watch, know, first and beginning. This is telling us that they were told they were mortal, not like the gods, the Elohim. So they sewed aprons, put on protection to cover their nakedness, their vulnerability, because now they knew they were naked, mortal. Okay? Not like the Elohim. They no longer trusted in the protection of the Most High. Now, if you recall, what was said? Genesis 3:11. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Okay? Now, what did he say? Did you listen to the serpent, the whisperer, the being, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Another interesting fact is this, the word with. All right? Now, this is very interesting. The word with in Genesis 3:6. Now, here's where you really need to pay attention. In Genesis 3:6, okay, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right? This word, with, 5973, if you try to find this word in the Strong's, you can't. But it sends you to the appendix. But because I used software, right, now, all my Hebrew words are referenced. So I easily found this word in the Strong's definition. And you come to learn that this word has a very broad meaning. Now, I say this because of this. Some have come to the conclusion that Adam had a homosexual affair with his being. Now, after looking into this, I have to disagree. The woman gave to her husband that was with her. Now, you'll see why after I break this down. Now, this word with references Hebrews 6:004. You will find that, okay, that this word with, 5973, is another one of those small words with a huge meaning. And when I say huge, I mean huge meaning. Okay? Now, and it reads, it says from Hebrews, it goes from 6004, adverb, a preposition with. This is in conjunction with, in varied application, specifically equal with, often with, prepositional, prefix, and then usually presented in English, accompanying against and as, before, besides, by, for all, from, in like, more than, of, to, with. Now, because this word is so short, there are two things we need to do. First, take it through the ancient filter, and second, go to the root word found in 6004, because by now we know that the word means more than just with, right? First, we look at what this word reveals in the ancient. Okay? Now, listen. It says, with. Now, I'm going to give you the characters. It has ayin and mim. In the ancient, it says there's the character of the eye, the symbol of the eye. It is to watch, no shades. Remember, this is the word with, okay? And then it has the symbol of water, and it's chaos, mighty, blood. And when you look up this word in the Hebrew Tanakh, okay, once again, they add an extra letter to better define the word. Like I said, before the KJV, right, the KJV takes out this letter, but the Hebrew Tanakh keeps it in. And the letter, once again, is YEH, pronounced ah, the same letter added to Nakish, ah, look, reveal, breath. Okay? Now, this is it's hard. How do I explain this? When the Greeks took the language from the ancient Hebrews, they added the story, right? But when you put the characters back in, it begins to tell another story. But in order to understand that story, you have to put the content of everything, and then you start getting clues, like with, okay? Now, if I say I'm going with him, but then when you look up the meaning of with, and it's, you know, an eye, which is to watch no shade or or chaos, mighty blood, you know that there was a deeper meaning behind it. All right? So when there's a deeper meaning behind it, you have to come to conclusion within your mind, okay, that there was something more here that was meant to be said. That's just common sense, you know? And, you know, it may seem that like I'm being insensitive, but I'm a little bit annoyed because if they could change the name of Yahushua to Jesus for so long and we not know it, and then when we finally find out that it's Yahushua, we still continue to read the Bible like we did before. And then when we find out that the Hebrews are actually, you know, the enslaved people, the black people, instead of changing our ways, we still continue to read the Bible like we did before. When we find out that we have an ancient Hebrew, that we can actually break it down to its root words and meaning, we ignore that and continue to read the book like we did before. So, you know, excuse me if I sound a little bit insensitive when we continue to not even understand that there is more to this. Greeks have took it over for a purpose. This world is destroyed because people don't know how to read this word. Religions were created. Okay? Let me continue. Now, where was I? Now, like I was saying, in the Hebrew Tanakh, all right, they add words to the meaning. And they do it because they don't count on anybody reading the Hebrew and putting two and two together. So they added an extra word. All right? Now, listen to what it says. With, I, watch, no, shade, mim, water, chaos, mighty, blood. Look, reveal, breath. Okay, now, let's look at the root word. Okay, now, remember, 5973 tells us to reference the root word. Hebrew 6004. Now, keep this in mind. When we look at this letter in the KJV, we have Ayin Mim. But when we take it into the Tanakh, the Hebrew, we get Yod, Wa, Ayin, Mim. Two more letters added. But now, okay, but not just any two letters, but the letters that make up the name of the Most High. You heard that? You heard that? Now, if you're following me, I want you to understand. When you take the Tanakh, Hebrew 5973, okay, the Tanakh, Hebrew 6004, and observe the letters, you will notice that all of the letters are presented to spell out the name of the Most High, Yahuwah, Yod, Ha, Wa, Ha. They say Yo, Hey, Wa, Hey, but it's Yod, Ah, Wa, Ah, Yahuwah. Now, what is the Tanakh trying to tell us that the King James Version tried to hide? Now, for those that would like to see this, you can view this using a Hebrews Old Testament Tanakh. I will also post this on my website once I get the time. And for my friends, email me and I will send you the transcript. Now, I am I'm not done yet, okay? Because we haven't even read the definition of Hebrew 6004. Now, Hebrew 6004 with, it says, with is with his I'm, right? It says a prime root to associate by implication, to overshadow by huddling together, become dim, hide. Okay, now let's break this word down to their definition. Overshadow. To be more important or insignificant by comparison, to cast a shadow over, cover with shadows, clouds, darkness, etc., darken or obscure clouds, overshadow the moon, or the word hide. Remember this word, remember we have the word overshadow. Now let's see what the word hide means. It says to conceal from sight, prevent from being seen or discovered, to obscure the view or cover up. The sun was hidden by the clouds, to conceal from knowledge or exposure, keep secret. Now remember, we are still exploring the meaning of the word with. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the question is this. Was Adam hiding while the woman ate of the tree? Or was something hiding within Adam? What was overshadowing Adam? Now take note as I read the words around Hebrews 6:004. First we read Hebrews 6:005, and it reads, it says from Hebrews 5:9-7:3, and now pay attention, and Hebrews 4:1-10, with suffix pronouns inserted, with us, God with us, Emmanuel, a name of Isaiah's son, Emmanuel. Now, notice that word, 4:1-10. Remember, 4:1-10 is Elohim, angelic being. They are also telling us that this word, 5973, the word that was used in Genesis 3:6, creates the word Emmanuel, the very name that is associated with the Messiah. Now, here's a second witness that tells us that this word with is referring to the Most High. Okay, now, if that wasn't enough, how about this one? If you look at the word Hebrews 6:003, the word that comes right before 6:004, you remember the word 6:004 is the root word for the word with in Genesis 3:6. Now, guess what word we find? Here it reads, Hebrews 6:003, Patromic from 6:002, and it says, and Amalekite, or collectively the Amalekites, or descendants of Amalek, Amalekite. Hebrews 6:002, probably of foreign origin. Amalek, a descendant of Esau, also his posterity in their country, Amalek. Okay. Let me tell y'all what just happened. This whole study revolves around the Amalekites. Do you think I am so clever that I can take this word with from Genesis 3:6 and have it magically lead me to the very topic that this study is about? The only reason why I am talking about this is because I wrote an email to Georgia Johnson early this week to thank her for posting my broadcast as an event. Okay? I mean, think about it. When we look at this, when we look at all of this, right? All of these words, Hebrews 6:003, Hebrews 6:004, Hebrews 6:005, we get as following. It says, Hebrews 6:003, Amalekites, the seed of the serpent. Hebrews 6:004, with. It goes with, the word that connects Adam and Eve. Hebrews 6:005, Emmanuel, God with us, which takes us to Isaiah 7:14. And let me read Isaiah 7:14, okay? And it says this. It says, therefore, the Most High himself, I'm reading that right. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I read Lord because it doesn't reference 30:26. It references 1:26, so it's Adonia. But let's not get off topic, though. But this is telling us that this is referencing the Most High. Now, remember, this is just the word with. Okay? Now, this will make much more sense after the completion of this broadcast. But by now, you should begin to understand this book. This Bible is beginning to reveal much more to us in these final days. And I hope you're beginning to see that there was a lot more going on in this garden than what has traditionally been taught. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play something. And this is going to set up the final part of this broadcast. And yeah, let's just play this one.
Chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
Chapter 6. And it came to pass, when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters, and the angels, the children of the heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, Come, let us choose wives from among the children of men, and beget us children. And Samjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, Let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together, and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And they were in all 200, who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon, because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it.
Okay, now, I play Genesis 6 and Enoch 6 to show you how these parallel. Now, I make the statement again. Those of you that criticize us for using the Apocrypha, I tell you this, you don't know what you're missing. All right, now, I hope you're still with me. Okay. In this broadcast, we have discovered that the serpent in the garden was more than just a snake. It was a being. This being is also called the dragon. And if the dragon from Revelations 12:17 is that old serpent from the garden, then this being had a seed, meaning offspring. Now, it is vital to understand this fact, because it is the purpose of this broadcast. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here we go. Okay, now, I speak about the serpent And now I speak about the seed of Adam, Yaakov. The name Yaakov is translated to James in the English language. The name Yaakov was given to the second born of Isaac, the seed of Abraham. The event, this event is a major key to our understanding and a direct link to the prophecies of Genesis 3:15. Okay, now, when we look into the Strong's, we find this word, heal, 6119. The very next use of this word is found in Genesis 25:26. So what this is telling me is this. This verse might be connected. Genesis 25:26. Now hear this and listen. It says, And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Yaakov. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. I like how the most simple verses in the word reveal so much. Okay, now, this is easily overlooked, but it tells the whole story. Genesis 3:15 and Genesis 25:26 are the foundation to it all. Let's first look at the word heal, Hebrews 6:119. From Hebrews 6:117, a heel, hence a track, figuratively the rear of an army, lie in wait is by mistake from Hebrew 6:120. Heel, horse, hoof, last, lie in wait, by mistake for Hebrew 6:120. Foot, step. Now, they tell us to reference Hebrew 6:117. So it says, a primitive root, probably to swell out or up, used only as a denominative from Hebrew 6:119. To seize by the heel, figuratively to circumvent as if tripping up the heels. Also to restrain as if holding by the heels. Take by the heel, stay, supplanted, utterly, totally. You heard that? Supplanted. This is getting a little more interesting as we see this word supplant. We know this word is to uproot, but what about the use of 6120? It says Hebrew 6120. And also, did anybody notice that word circumvent? Let's see what it means. It says to go around or bypass, to circumvent the lake, to circumvent the real issues, to avoid defeat, failure, unpleasant, be artful or deception, avoid by anticipating, outwitting. He circumvented capture by anticipating their movements, to surround or encompass as by stagnant, stagnant, entrap to circumvent a body or enemy troops. Now remember, this is heel. This is heel. You know? This is the heel from 3:15. So what does Hebrews 6:120 say? Hebrews 6:117. In its denominative sense, a liar in wait. Heel is by mistake for Hebrew 6:119. Heel by mistake for Hebrew 6:119. Wow. So now we have another clue. A liar in wait. And also, Strong is telling us heel is by mistake for Hebrew 6:119. Now, this will make sense as we continue, because heel, as you can see, does not mean what you think it means. If you keep reading, we go to Hebrews 6:121, heel 6:121, from, it says, from Hebrews 6:117. Because it keeps referencing 6:1-7 to keep telling you, taking you back there. All right? To let you know, this is all connected. All has these meanings. It keeps coming out. It says, in the original sense, a claw as swelling up, in denominative sense, fraudulent as intrinsically tracked, crooked, deceitful, polluted, and Hebrews 6:1-2, feminine of an unused root from Hebrews 6:1-7, meaning a trick, trickery, subtly. And then it ends with Hebrews 6:1-3, which is a prime root word meaning to tie with thongs, bind. So bondage is also related to heal, as well as oppression, Hebrew 6:1-5. Okay, let's make this clear. Heal from Genesis 3:1-5 and Genesis 2:5-6 does not only mean the back of your foot, but to circumvent, supplant, deception, outwitting, trick, liar in ways, and relates to bind and oppression. Okay, now, who does these characteristics remind you of? Now, this is where it gets good. Like I said earlier, I would like to thank the Sword of Yah for inspiring me to do this research on this subject. Without him, this broadcast would not exist. We were having a conversation. He read me the scripture, and I got inspired. Okay. Now, in Genesis 25:26, we read, and after that came his brother out, and his brother took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Yaakov. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. In this verse, we are seeing is dual meanings. We get the story of what happened as Yaakov was being born, and then the deeper, true meaning of this verse that can be only translated using the meaning of the names of the word. The first meaning is for the world. The second is for the peculiar treasure of Ayah. And if you understand the verses, then you are of the peculiar treasure. Since we've already decoded the word heal, we will next decode the name Yaakov. Yaakov is Hebrews 3290. Okay, now, when we open the Strong's, we find this meaning. Yaakov, Hebrew 3290. From Hebrew 6:1-7, heel catcher. This is supplanter. Yaakov, Yaakov, the Israelitish patriarch. Yaakov. That's it. And, now, when you go to the Strong's concordance, you land on a new root word, right? And when you get down, you get more root words. So they are telling us that, you know, you have to reference Hebrew 1:1-7. So what I'm saying is, like, as you know how when you look around Yaakov to see if there's more you can get to? Well, it actually goes to new root words. So it's referencing us back to Hebrew 6:1-7, okay? It says, go to Hebrews 6:1-7 for a deeper meaning. Now, we just went over this, right, with the other heel. So this is telling us Yaakov and heel basically are one and the same. Okay? But there's more. Now, what happens when we put this word through our ancient Hebrew filters? Okay? So we take Yaakov and we break it down to the actual Hebrew letters. All right? Now, first we look at the word heel through the eyes of the ancestors. And it says, we get Babylonian Hebrew letters, Ayin, Kwaf, Bes, which is Akol. Now, it gets interesting. The letter Ayin is replaced by the ancient Hebrew symbol I. And this I has three meanings. Watch, know, as in knowing and shade. And if you recall from our last study, Ayin of the eye also represents the iniquity of the Amorites as well as the Amalekites or Amalek. Now, there's something else to place in your wisdom. The eye, right? Now, the eye can also be a reference to the all-seeing eye, which is the wisdom of the Amalekites, the Amalekites. The next letter is Ches. This is represented by the original Hebrew symbol for the rising sun. This also has three meanings: condensed circle and time. Notice the word condense to reduce the amount over a period of time, also to circle. Then we have the letter Bis. This gets translated to the ancient Hebrew characters, which is the tent floor, a layout for living quarters. This means family, house, and inn. This is telling us that this is the core of the community, the house and the family, and the word inn is saying this is where you live. So as you can see, the word heal has a much deeper and dualistic meaning. Now, in order to understand it, you have to take it to the content of the story. Okay, now, the name Yaakov has the exact same characteristics as the word heal, right? With a slight addition, or should I say a major addition, the letter called Yod. Now, we all know this letter from the name of the Most High. Ah, Yah, the Yah. That's the letter Yod. Okay? The letter Yod is represented by the ancient symbol of the arm, which has the following meaning: work, throw, and worship. This letter Yod represents the Creator, the Most High. So when this letter is added to the word heal, remember, heal, this letter is added to the word heal, the meaning is changed to represent work, action, mission given to the seed of the chosen of the Most High. Notice the word worship. This is referencing Ayah because Yod completes the whole name. And just like when the Hebrew letters Yay, or pronounced Ah, in Yah was added to Abraham in Sariah, the Yod is added to Heel to create the name Yaakov. So, this is telling us this man, Yaakov, is a representative of the Most High. Now, and this is why I did the broadcast called They Live Because We Sleep. When the Greeks translated the word, they changed the name to hide the meaning. Okay? The name Israel is not Yaakov. You will not find the story of the Amalekites using the name Israel, but you will find it with the name Yaakov. The name gives you the name given to Yaakov by the Most High, not some mysterious angel being wrestling with Yaakov by the river under the dark moon. Now, if you notice, I keep mentioning the Amalekites. Who are the Amalekites? And how do they relate to the serpent seed? Like I said, the key in the dragon, okay, the key is the dragon in Revelations. And I'm going to read it to you again. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed and kept the commandments of Yahuwah and hath the testimony of Yahushua, the Messiah. Joel 1:3, tell your children of it and let your children tell their children and their children of the generation. That which the pankerworm hath left, the locust hath eaten. And that which the locust hath left, the canker hath eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, the caterpillar hath eaten. Awaken, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drunkards of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cast off from your mouth. For a nation is come upon you come upon my land, strong and without number, with teeth, teeth as the lion. And he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my wine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away, and branches therefore are made white. And of course, Genesis 3:1-5, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. Okay. Now, to understand this verse, we have to place it into the content in which it is referring to. Since we have established that the seed is offspring and heel is reference to usurpation, and the name Yaakov and usurpation and the name Yaakov and this word enmity, which means of hatred, right? Enmity means enemy and hatred. And bruise means to overwhelm or break. And when we read this part of the verse, it says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It should not take long to see that this is not talking about Eve eating an apple. This is speaking about warfare. Okay? The first of the nations, the head of the Amalekites, thou shalt bruise his heel, right? Heel meaning Yaakov, heel catcher, bruise, overwhelm, break. So this is telling us that the seed of the dragon, the serpent, are at war with the seed of the children of Adam. All right? Okay? All right, now, I'm going to complete this study, but before I do, I'm going to play this last file. It's the Book of Enoch, and this is going to explain to those that need a little bit more understanding about what's actually going on here. Okay, listen up.
Chapter 15. And he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice, Fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness. Approach hither and hear my voice, and go, say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them, You should intercede for men, and not men for you. Wherefore have ye left the high, holy, and eternal heaven, and lain with women, and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken to yourselves wives, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons. And though ye were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten children with the blood of flesh. And as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also who die and perish. Therefore have I given them wives also, that they might impregnate them, and beget children by them, that thus nothing might be wanting to them on earth. But you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life, and immortal for all generations of the world. And therefore I have not appointed wives for you. For as for the spiritual ones of the heaven, in heaven is their dwelling. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men, and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth, on the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. Chapter 16. From the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits, having gone forth, shall destroy without incurring judgment, thus shall they destroy until the day of the consummation, the great judgment, in which the age shall be consummated over the watchers and the godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. And now, as to the watchers who have sent thee to intercede for them, who had been aforetime in heaven, say to them, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you, and you knew worthless ones. And these in the hardness of your hearts you have made known to the women. And through these mysteries women and men work much evil on earth. Say to them, therefore, you have no peace.
Hey. Now, I'm going to finish up this broadcast, and I hope I was clear. If someone has any questions, feel free to send me an email, and I will clarify some things for you. Okay? Now, for the closing of this broadcast, I will speak about the Amalekites. I named this broadcast The Seed of the Serpent and the Deception of the Amalekites, because I want to bring your attention to just that, the deception. Many of us believe that the Amalekite is the father. Many of us believe that Amalek is the father of the Amalekites, and the Amalekites are the seed of Esau. Now, this is not a wrong conclusion, but just like many things concerning the dragon, this is half truth. The seed of the Amalekites go far beyond Esau. And just like the butterfly, the Amalekites are masters of deception. This half truth has given birth to many demonic movements and has turned this world into what we see today. The British Israelite lie is the perfect example. This movement has turned into white supremacy and racist hatred. And this has caused many to shy away from ever studying in depth the truth about the seed of the serpent. Even today, those of us that are waking up to who we are placing all our focus, energy, and anger towards Esau and the white man. And like white supremacy, we point the finger at the opposite race and say, there is the enemy. And as we fall for this, our message of understanding and teaching about who the Most High is turned into a message of hate and confusion. As the serpent hides in the shade and comes up with terms like replacement doctrine. Now, I say this because many realize we are at war, but we do not know who the enemy is. As I tried to explain in this broadcast. The seed of the serpent are the children of the dragon. And this seed dwells in the Amalekites, the kin of the Kenites. Let me explain how this happened. Now, to properly comprehend this, I will read from the article called The Amalekites of the Bible. Here is a typical belief concerning the Amalekites, and it reads, the Bible dictionary incites on the scriptures that the Amalekite was a son of Esau, firstborn Elphaz, by his concubine Timnah in Genesis 26:12. Amalekite, a grandson of Esau, was one of the sheiks of Edom, Genesis 36. Amalekite's name also designated his tribal descents. Now, this is a typical explanation concerning the Amalekites, right? While it is true, Amalek's name designates his tribe's descendant, there is a belief that Amalek dates back beyond the time of Esau. And this is backed up by the accounts of Chaldamar and the kings of Genesis 14. Now, one thing to take note is this. When you read Genesis 14, not only is this the first time you hear the name Amalekites, you also have the name Hebrew for the very first time. Okay? So this is a very special chapter. Two words, Amalekites and Hebrew, are used for the very first time in Genesis 14. And it reads, in the 14th year, that says Chaldamar, and the kings that were with him came and reached the Rephim and the Ashuth Karim, the Zum and Ham, and the Imum and Shavath Katok, and the Horites in their Mount of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Mispeth, that is Kadesh, and attacked all them countries of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who dwell in Hazum Tamir. Okay, now, here's where you should take note. Notice how it says the Horites in their Mount of Seir. When Balaam took up his oracle and looked at Amalek, Numbers 24:1-20, he said, Amalek was the first among nations, but shall be last until be perished. When the children of Israel met the Amalekites at Rephim, the Amalekites were already first among the nations of Arabia and were destined to go on to even greater prominence. The Islamic historian considered Amalek to be one of the most ancient of the Arab tribes. An Arab scholar of the 13th century wrote, Shem, son of Noah, has several sons. Among them, Lud, to whom was born Faris, the Yom, Shem, and Amalek. Okay? And then it says, according to Emmanuel Vasukri, the Amalekites ruled in Mecca and from the central position on the Great Peninsula of Arabia, dominating other Arab tribes as part of Arabia Felix, Arabia Petra, and Arabia Distra, alike which within reach of their bows. Now, this is from the Age of Chaos. Okay, now, I read this part to bring your attention to the line of Shem, Lud, to whom was born Fariz, Shodan, Shem and Amalek. Okay, now, when we read the line of Shem in Genesis, this is what we read. It says, the children of Shem, Elim, Ashur, Aphex, and Lud, and Aum, right? But we never read about his son, Amalek. Okay, now let me be clear. We're told that Lun had a son named Amalek, but it's not found in Genesis. But it's out there. Okay? Now, the reason this is because Amalek, right, did not start with this line either. Lud married the seed of Amalekite. Okay? He married the seed of Amalek. The line of Amalek is passed through the mother. This is how it mixes with the Hebrews. This is why the maternal line is so important. Now listen to this, okay? Listen to this line of Esau. It says, and Tima was a concubine of Ephah, Esau's son, and she bare to Ephah Amalek. Those were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. Then it says, and Dishon, the Isser, and Dishon, these are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir in the land of Edom. And the children of Lutan were Hori, the Hermon, and Lutan's sister was Timnah. Now, if you recall, the Horites in their Mount Seir. How many of you remember my last broadcast when I was describing the characteristics of the Horites? Remember? They were described as white-skinned, flowing hair, and light eyes. Now, the problem is they are of the nation of Shem, the Hamites, the Hamites. Okay? The Horites were, okay, now listen, the Horites and the Amorites were usurped and mixed with the seed of the Amalekites. This is why Tima named her son Amalek, to tell us that this was the son of the Amalekites. Why do you think Lud named his son Amalek? Okay? He named the son Amalek, they named the son Amalek. Now, I don't have time to actually break down what the name means, but it has, the name means something. Every name means something. But this is pointing you to a seed, right? Now, this tells us that this was the seed of the Amalekites. The Amalekites are kin to the Kenites. The Kenites are the direct descendants of Cain. So the seed of the serpent lives in the Amalekites. Think about how the dragon followed the children of Yaakov through our history, right? The Hyksos are the Amalekites. The Hittites are the Amalekites. The Amorites, the Amalekites. The Horites, the Amalekites. And when you research, you notice that in many cases, the seed is passed through the mother. Like I mentioned before, who do we know that follows the line of the mother and not the father? I will give you a clue. It's not Yaakov. Now listen to Numbers 24:19. It says, out of Yaakov shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that Esau is not the enemy or a representation of a European nation. This is evident and in prophecy. What I'm saying is Esau became Edom, and he did this by joining with the enemy. And if we do not expose who this enemy is, this world will remain deceived. Okay, now, that's all the time I have. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to end with what's a good thing to end with? Let me see, ain't got much time. Oh, my eyes are bugging. Okay, y'all. See ya.
Now we shine your shoes like a looking glass. When that water hit them shoes, it roll right off. Shine. Now we shine that shoe like a looking glass, make a fly do that natural light shine. Now we get them shoe like a looking glass, the water hit them, they're going to roll right off, shine. Now we put them shoes right on the lid, where you know them shoes going to shine, they're going to glitz. Now we hit them shoes like a looking glass, them shoes gonna do the natural shine. Now we gonna hit them shoes like a looking glass, when that water hit them, they gonna roll out or shine.